numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander in San Francisco. Kelly Bidlin back at the VSiN studios, the mothership in Las Vegas. Kelly, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Anything happened yesterday we need to talk about?
I don't think it was really anything that big. No, nothing that nobody's overreacting to at all today. That's for sure.
No. Heard Spain beat Portugal. Heard about that. That happened. 1-0. We will talk about the United States men's national team here momentarily. Dallin Cuff will join us to discuss that, of course. And today's final two round of 16 games to determine the final two positions in the quarterfinals, which begin, actually, Kelly, during our show this morning. Argentina taking on Egypt. That's at 12 noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. So we'll be on air for the first half of that. That's followed by Colombia and Switzerland a little later on at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. First game's in Atlanta, second game's in Vancouver. So Dallin will talk about that. Joe Sheehan a little later on the show. Drew Dinsick will join us as well. See if he has any Wimbledon left by the time he gets on air here at the top of the hour. We'll talk NBA with him. We'll talk World Cup, of course. I'm sure he has thoughts. Going to also check in with some others throughout the morning here as well. We will actually, Kelly and I, will do, coming up here in this half hour, we haven't checked in on the Tom Tango Cy Young tracker. And I figure after Cam Schlittler's rebound performance last night for the Yankees, big win for the Yankees, first of a four-game set with the Rays as they get within three of the Rays atop the AL East, and then Christopher Sanchez having just an awful outing with the Philadelphia Phillies, thought we ought to check in on Tango's tried and true formula. Tom Tango, Kelly, last 20 years. So we're talking 40 Cy Youngs, right? AL and NL. Last 20 years, he has correctly predicted by his formula at the end of the year, 33 out of the 40.
Yeah, it's pretty
33
good.
33 out of the 40.
Not bad. Good. Not bad. And yeah, like you said, a couple big, big-time performances last night. I think it's time to check in on that. Sanchez with one of his worst ever, if not his worst outing ever.
Well, I'll give you his line. Sanchez yesterday, and this is the thing, when you're really good, you kind of leave the guy in for a while because you're like, well, you're Christopher Sanchez. Let's see what happens. 3 1/3 innings, gave up 9 earned runs on 12 hits, one K, one walk in a 15-1 loss to the Kansas City Royals. Is that good?
Not very good. No, not really. That's a good call, though. You're right. If that's other guys, you're probably already getting the hook by then.
Well, the reason, again, that I want to go into this, if there was no bet to be made, it's sort of like this, you know, we're just wasting time talking about it. And if you had listened to our Cy Young segments in previous weeks on a numbers game, I was completely behind the Miz in the National League. I didn't really get the Sanchez love. People were really, I know we had the scoreless inning streak, and so people became really drunk on that. But yeah, no, Jacob Mizorowski's numbers are so off the charts, out of this world, that his monster favorite status is justified. The AL is where it gets interesting, and I think there's, again, bets to be made there, which we'll get into. But first, by the way, Mark Borchardt will join us later, talk baseball as well, in addition to Joe Sheehan. Joe Sheehan, by the way, I hang out with Joe Pita watching the Portugal-Spain game yesterday.
Yeah.
Apparently, Joe Sheehan, all his newsletter subscribers, they're having like an outing at Camden Yards in Baltimore. So Joe's like, hey, got to roll. Got to go to the East Coast, hang out with Joe Sheehan.
That's awesome. We'll have to ask him about that today. I haven't caught that in his newsletter, but you know.
We get invited.
He's got multiple a day sometimes. I'll be honest, Joe, I love the newsletter. I read it thoroughly sometimes. Sometimes I skim through it. And I must have missed that note. That's pretty cool, though.
Okay. Yes, totally. We're jealous. We're jealous that we can't be there. Okay. U.S. national team yesterday, in case you were trapped under a heavy object, lose to Belgium 4-1. I guess the positive is we had the Paul Carr play round of 16 elimination at 3-1 odds. So that cashes. That's the end of the positive. So hope you played that. One of Paul's great calls from before the season. As he said, that's par for the tournament. But the problem was, to extend the analogy, it was basically getting on the green on a par 5 and 2 and then 3 putting yesterday from about 30 feet out. That's what happened. 4-1, we lose to Belgium. And Kelly, I have so many questions for Dallin later, but the number one question is going to be, why did we look so tight from the beginning? What changed and made us look just so god-awful from the start? And, you know, 4 goals from Belgium. My question to Paul Carr yesterday was, can you rank these in terms of 1, 2, 3, 4 in level of suckitude?
Yeah.
Because they were all terrible goals given up. I think number one is the consensus, right? Number one is the goal that put us down 3-1 when our goalkeeper, Matt Freeze, decided, I'm going to approach the ball. What did I say?
I said he decided to freeze.
He decided to freeze. Yes, exactly. He kept to his name. He approached the ball, and then instead of kicking it away, he did freeze, right? He had like a hesitation. That was all Belgium needed to score. Now, some people were also like giving Tim Ream some crap about like the ball getting by him, but I don't blame Ream. That was a freeze thing.
Felt like he was kind of stuck in no man's land there. I don't really know what else he was supposed to do. These goalies, I watched the whole World Cup, right? And you're, when they have the chance to use their hands in the box, Gil, and they don't, I'm like, you're allowed. Like, pick up the ball. Like, go grab the ball. What are you doing? And it's like they want to show off how they're soccer players too, right? It's kind of like the whole, like, kickers or football players too. It's like they want to show that off, but then that happens, right? Like, you get out into the field of play, and all of a sudden you can't, you don't have the safety net of using your hands, and you freeze.
Well, you and I, from watching this entire World Cup, we are clearly soccer experts at this point. Clearly. So we know good goalkeeper play. But there have been a few of these situations, yesterday being the most obvious, where you're like, what are you doing? What are you doing going out there? Yeah. What's happening? And this one yesterday was like, it was like grade school soccer-ish, where you're like, oh my God, what just happened? So that was clearly the worst of them. That put Belgium up 3-1, and that was when you kind of knew the dream was over. We can quibble about what ranks as 2, 3, and 4. I'll tell you the order that Paul put them in after that. He said the second worst was when we tied it at 1-1. Remember, Malik Tillman with another free kick banger. This one a little bit off a deflection, but nonetheless, free kick that tied it up at 1-1. And 61 seconds later, we give the lead back up.
Yeah.
Paul thought that was the second worst. Bad marking on the corner kick right after scoring. I didn't have that at 2, but he did. He knows soccer better than me. He just felt like we lost track of our guys in there. And once again, Charles de Ketelaere with his second goal of the game on that one. He had scored earlier, and that was where Paul actually had the first goal as the fourth worst. He said we just fell asleep on that one. Like, we just completely lost track of where he was. And that was the one where again, it was like a ball bouncing around in the penalty box that we weren't aggressive enough to get to, which led to, it was awful. It was awful. I thought the second worst, which he ranked as the third worst, was the final goal. And maybe it should be demoted to the third worst because it actually didn't matter in the end, because that's what turned the 3-1 game into the 4-1 game, was our guy Lukaku scoring. But that was just Chris Richards. Again, this felt grade school to me, right? Where Chris Richards just kind of loses the ball. Big error, worst mistake, but mattered less, I guess, than some of the others, because that just made a 3-1 game, a 4-1 game. Either any way you slice it, man, that was just so different than everything else we saw from this team prior to it.
Yeah, really was. Kind of don't want it to be forgotten, Gil, because the Tillman free kicks, man. Like, what? I know there are a lot of people like going nuts about this team today, but man, those are two games with two free kicks of massive importance that, man, he was just awesome on. So I do want to bring that up before, because I feel like everybody's freaking out destroying this team today, and it's almost like we get our expectations way too high, Gil, and then reality sets in and we don't know how to
it's never happened.
It's bizarre to me that this happens like every single time. Like, I know this team was good, but like, is that not the perfect example of like where U.S. soccer is at? Like, it's still just like, you know, I hear you. It was mistakes. It's not what we've seen at this from this team for much of the World Cup. But guess what? Step up in competition, and this is what you look like. And I think this is still just a puts it in, a good area of where this team and where U.S. soccer is still at. And, you know, we're going to go through another 4 years. Everybody's going to be like, well, we don't have the youth development programs that the other countries have. And well,
that's OK.
If we factor all the money.
Exactly.
Yeah. If we push all the money in there, we could be there, Gil. But it's like, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. We say that every 4 years. We say that every 2 years. And we're just not going to do it. We're just going to sit here again 4 years later and complain.
No, I don't disagree with any of that. I agree with all that. It's, you can already see this morning. It's, you know, it's the same thing of, well, our great athletes, they go play football and too. Basketball yep. and then baseball, right? We don't play soccer. The financial structure is different in the U.S. Oh, I mean, look, that's who we are, right? Mm-hmm. That's what makes America.
On the positive side of that, Gil, it is cool. And I make fun of the expectations getting too high. But like, guess what? You know what's also America? Sports. And it's awesome when there's great sports going on and we all rally around this and all get excited about it. It's just, it's tough to keep expectations in line.
The other question that I will ask of Dallin coming up here this hour is, what's the, where does this put Christian Pulisic in like sort of American soccer tiers, right? Because we have a stat too where he gave up the ball yesterday the most in the time that he was on the pitch, and then he got hurt. I got a text from someone, I won't name who was like, oh, that sums up his career perfectly. You know, maybe that's harsh, maybe it's not. So anyway, the dream is over. And after today, if in fact Argentina and Colombia advance, which is what's supposed to happen, I actually think, Kelly, we got the exact right 8 teams we're supposed to have in the quarterfinals. So should be fun from here on out. Let's look at Tom Tango's Cy Young tracker on the other side. Is there a bet to be made? I say yes in the American League. Coming back on a numbers.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For just $299, you get 2 full years of VSiN Pro access. That's nearly 70% off the regular monthly price. You'll get our NFL season betting guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and every betting guide, season preview, and VSiN Pro feature we release over the next 2 years. But you got to act fast. Today is the final day. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe right now to lock in 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $299. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Kelly, that's not going to be extended, right? Today, last day, that's final, correct?
As far as I know, last day. Get in now.
Well done. I like when Kelly is, I note every time Kelly properly phrases things like that, where it's like, as far as I know, gives him good distance from any possible decision there. You know, today's the last day.
Things change rapidly around here, Gil. You don't know.
Oh, man. Okay. We get tweets. Speed of the book. Listener Lance. Here we go, Kelly. Ready? USA fourth tier athletes aren't good enough to compete at the highest level of soccer. Basketball/football takes our top athletes. Baseball second tier than hockey and soccer. If U.S. soccer had JJ and Jamar Chase out there with LeBron, Castle, and so many more, U.S. soccer would be a force, but that'll never happen. Football's king. They'd have to move high school soccer season to the spring so kids could play football and soccer. Here you go. It starts.
Sure. Like, I can't argue. Yeah. I can't argue back. Who knows?
Yeah. It's all true.
And who knows if Erling Haaland suited up on a basketball court or on a football field, American football field.
Can we flash up that ESPN FC stat here on Christian Pulisic? I just want to put this up here. Lost possession 11 times in just 45 minutes, the most of any player on the field. I'm going to ask Dallin about that. Because I floated this before I even saw this stat. I sort of floated it with in our group chat with Paul yesterday. I don't think he liked that so much. So. Well, that's what Dallin thinks. 3Jacques H3131. Gil, now that fake football is over and real football is on the horizon, can we get a Survivor segment going? Pending approval from Mike Alvarez, he says. Yes, we always have to clear it with Mike. Tim Bowers, well, Those country roads are closed now, so I'll have to hop on the boat and start rowing with Kelly.
Oh, that's right, sure, man. That's right. It's get like the USA, love you. Always going to love you. As someone else texted us last night, Gil, it's you know, let the real tournament begin. And that's, you know, who's still around in the real tournament? Norway and Erling Haaland. Get on the boat and row. Let's go. He's impressive as hell.
I'm with you. I'm on Norway. I'm on the Norway bandwagon.
Easiest team to root for, right? Like, it's just that easy.
Well, I have my reasons about Erling Haaland. Mm. You can research that. Shrek McPhee, when you look afterwards, how many U.S. players would start for Belgium? The patriotic hype got out of control. Tillman is the only one. Bernarachi, while we're checking in on people, can we check in with Greg Peterson and just make sure his finances are still intact after a whirlwind weekend with a certain lady visiting for the weekend? I feel like I've seen this movie before. Greg, rooting for you, but come on, in capitals.
Man, it's only been a day. I'm sure he's okay after a day.
That sums up a lot of our feelings. Darren Fraser, I set the odds that the legal pad over Gilly's right shoulder is hiding a cracked window at plus 10,000. Odds it's hiding his top secret location at minus 110. Anywhere in the city is better than just about anywhere else. Enjoy your working vacation from home. Thank you. And again, this right here is because on sunny days, there's a building wall right there where it reflects super bright. Today, I could take it down. It'd be no problem.
Yeah, I always thought it would be funny if it was like not like a straight up Kenny Rogers roaster situation, but if there was just a massive advertisement like right behind there that Gil had to cover up, like if it was just a big Starbucks sign, we're like, we can't give him free advertising, cover it up.
Trip Tepper, I believe Dallin Cuff can corroborate this, but among the 16 teams in the second round, the USA goalie was ranked 16th. Before 2030, we need to massively upgrade our goalkeeper. An elite goalie can help us close the gap on the best teams. And finally, Fairway Fred. Sure wouldn't want to be paying broadcast rights to soccer in America going forward. Wow. He took it extreme there. Okay. Cy Young tracker from our buddy Tom Tango. And I say our buddy because he listens in on the show, follows our clips on Twitter. Super flattered by that. He is one of the godfathers of sabermetrics. He invented fielding independent pitching, by the way, FIP. He also is responsible for run expectancy matrix that we follow, you know, two guys on, first and third, one out, what's the percentage runs, or what's the expected run total that will actually happen in that situation. He's the guy. And he does this Cy Young tracker, as I was mentioning. He has a tried and true formula, Kelly. It's innings pitched divided by two minus earned runs. You won't have to remember this. Inning pitch divided by two minus earned runs plus strikeouts divided by 10 plus wins. That's it. There's no advanced stats, right? There's no, K percentage. There's no XFIP, FIP, what he invented. There's none of that fancy stuff, right? It's all baseball card stuff. Innings pitched, strikeouts, wins, earned runs. That's it that's involved. And he has correctly identified at the end of the year, not in July, but it is a good barometer to look at. He has correctly identified ultimately 33 of the last 40 Cy Young winners correctly, those who have eventually won the award. Now, it should be noted that last year was one of the seven misses. He had Garrett Crochet of the Red Sox by 0.4 points better than Tarek Skubal. So last year was one of two. He hit Paul Skeens, obviously, in the National League. But there have been years, like 2015, where I think he hit all 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in both leagues. 2016, I think he hit 1, 2, 3 in both leagues. So it's not infallible, right? 33 out of 40. But typically he gets this right. And right now, if we look at it, first of all, let's do the National League because this is the easy one. Jacob Mizorowski, we're showing at, was that minus 450 at DraftKings? Minus 450. Jacob Mizorowski, and I know I just said like that this doesn't involve advanced stats, but just to give you a sense of both of his baseball card stats, the standard stats and the advanced stats, Jacob Mizorowski, and this is not armchair quarterbacking now because we recommended him when he was behind Christopher Sanchez on this show in the betting market. Mm-hmm. But his 1.47 ERA, these are all best, forget National League, these are all the best in baseball. 1.47 ERA. Let's get to some of the advanced. 2.09 expected ERA. 1.97 fielding independent, 2.13 XFIP, 4.3 WAR, 0.78 WHIP, 39.3% K percentage, 156 Ks, back to the ones that matter for the formula, 104 innings pitched. Only the innings pitch is not the number one in baseball. Everything else, number one in Major League Baseball. So if your counter argument to Miz is, well, he's about 20 innings behind the leaders there, that's about as flimsy as it gets. This guy is having an epic season beyond anything I think I've seen in recent memory. You don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but I don't remember a guy being number one Major League Baseball in all of those categories at any point in the season, let alone as we approach the All-Star break. So it makes sense he's minus 450. In fact, I could even argue that's low. Here's the deal. You could still get hurt. That's the only thing that perhaps could counter that. But just to give you an idea in the sense of the Tom Tango numbers versus the betting market, Sanchez, who we're showing at plus 550 there, Sanchez ought to be number two, but like the third, fourth, and fifth guys in Tango standings are Burns, Sale, and Shohei, who are what, 30 to 1, 25 to 1, and 50 to 1, respectively. So at that point, after the Miz and Sanchez, it just becomes out of whack. This, of course, inspired by Sanchez, as we mentioned yesterday, 3 1/3 innings, giving up 9 earned runs, 12 hits, 1 K, 1 walk, and a 15-1 loss to the Royals. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Are we at a point, Gil, where we can say, I mean, it's July 7th. Are we far enough that you can start whittling down this list of who's even alive left?
Yeah, I'll tell you who's alive. The Miz is, barring an injury. That's the list. And I don't even include Sanchez. I really don't. It's not particularly close.
Okay.
It really isn't. And I know that drives Sanchez people crazy, but besides that scoreless inning streak, you just don't measure up in any of the categories to this otherworldly season that the Miz is having, that Jacob Mizorowski is having. Sanchez is having a great year by any measure, but not where Mizorowski is concerned. The value to me, Kelly, is in the American League, where Cam Schlittler may not be number one in Major League Baseball, but he's number one in the American League in ERA after his 8-inning performance last night against the Rays in a big game where he gave up 1 earned run on 4 hits, 8 Ks against 0 walks, 5-1 win over the Rays. He's number one in ERA, 2.01. Expected ERA, number one, 2.93 in the American League. FIP, 2.58, number one in the American League. 2.94 XFIP, number one. 3.6 WAR, number one. 131 Ks, number one. 112 innings is number two. And a 0.93 WHIP is number two. He is plus 115, plus 120, we're showing. Dylan Cease in Tango's stats is fourth.
Huh.
I'll go through the point differential and all of this on the other side. We'll do it after we talk to Dallin next. But it is not close in either of these by points. It is clearly Mizorowski. It is clearly Schlittler. Plus 120 is a great bet. We'll follow up on this a little later.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. In the case of Kelly Bidlin, I'm coming from San Francisco, Gil Alexander. Dallin Cuff standing by at the airport in Charleston, South Carolina. So we want to jump to him momentarily. Real quick, though, Kelly, I want to get in my tennis play of the day. Forgot to do that the first couple segments. Yeah. By the way, tennis has already started today. Coco Gauff just took down her fellow American and doubles partner, Jessie Pegula, in three sets. So Coco is on her way to the semifinals. Coco looking for the surface slam, if you will. She's won a slam on clay. She's won one on hard courts. Now she's trying to win one on the grass at Wimbledon. My play is on the next match, which is Naomi Osaka against Karolina Muhova. Osaka minus 129 is the price for VSiN subscribers, VSiN.com/picks. For subscribers who got it in the overnight, Muhova maybe has the most beautiful game in women's tennis. She's just a beautiful volley game. But the way that Osaka's playing, and remember, gave out Osaka 8-1 to win her quarter before the tournament. So anybody who has that ticket, this is the match that determines that as well. I've got Osaka. I think Osaka hits through the beautiful game that is Muhova. So Naomi Osaka, the one tennis play of the day, after our 2-1 yesterday. You're on it as well, Kelly? You jumped on it?
Yeah, I'm telling you, okay, man. We got some tennis going during the show today. We got soccer starting up here in an hour and a half. And Coco Gauff, why is she wearing a winter coat during her like post-match press conference?
There's a lot of fashion happening at Wimbledon.
Oh,
Kelly.
Okay.
Like ladies,
you always say, I'd fit right in.
You, like I always say, Kelly, you would fit right in on the WTA tour with your fashion. That's what I always say. Let's not keep the man waiting because he's got a flight to catch. Dallin Cuff from Turner Sports joins us now, as I said, from the airport in Charleston, South Carolina, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Dallin, good morning, sir.
Oh, it's good to be on with you. My tone may be subdued, maybe less gregarious than normal, given the atmosphere in the CHS Club Lounge, but also the U.S. got their ass kicked last night, so I'm not exactly hyped up as normal.
I understand. We understand on both counts. So let's just start there before we get into your thoughts on today. I have two overriding questions. One is, and they actually talked about this a little bit on the broadcast, John Strong actually brought this up because he and Stu Holden at one point were like, oh, the USA, they look kind of flat, you know, in the early going here. And then Strong kind of stopped himself and said, yeah, but why? Like, why do we look flat all of a sudden? What's your answer to that?
None of those guys have an answer. I don't have an answer. John and Sue don't have an answer. Guys, it seems so strange. You have everything on your side. You have the country now believing. You had performances we have never seen with a team wearing red, white, and blue in the World Cup. It seemed together this toughness, skill, flair, goals, and energy. And from the kickoff, it just wasn't there. It was bizarre. It's inexplicable. You had Kyle Adams yesterday after the game couldn't explain it. Christian Pleasant couldn't explain it. The thing I would say is a lot of these players in this level of the tournament, I mean, Belgium, Leandro Trossard played a really good match. He's on Arsenal's team, played in Champions League final. Is what, third World Cup? Kevin De Bruyne, Jeremy Doku, Romelu Lukaku, all on the bench. There's a world-class players. You have other players that have been in very big moments before, and they were comfortable. Our guys did not meet the moment, and I can't explain why at the very least there's not just energy and aggression. You could have that with sloppiness and survive. You could have that with a lack of skill and survive. You can't have sloppiness without effort, without energy, and think you're going to win that game. I mean, Freeze had a crazy save with 50 seconds into the match. I mean, they could have been down 1-0 50 seconds in.
Yeah.
I can't explain it. And that's the hardest part for like American soccer fans. You galvanize the country. And we look back, I think people will be excited about the World Cup overall. Hopefully it changes young people's perceptions of wanting to play soccer. Hopefully it changes some adults' perceptions of wanting to follow this game, which is great. But when you had all that captivated and then you just didn't even perform remotely the way we'd seen or with the most energy, it's beyond missed opportunity. It feels like the same old U.S. when the last couple of weeks it felt like it was something different. And this outcome now makes us all feel like we've seen this movie before.
Yeah. Let me ask you one more sports talk radio question about this, because I feel like the soccer hardos and the non-soccer hardos maybe see this differently. You brought up Christian Pulisic. That is the third World Cup game in his last seven that he has started that he left with an injury. We just flashed up a stat earlier that he gave up the ball at the highest rate of anybody on the pitch yesterday. Where is he in sort of your U.S. soccer context now historically?
Well, yeah, he gave up 11 times in the first 45 minutes. You know, like that was awful. And they weren't like where you're getting up turnovers, like when you're forcing out the defense, you're pressuring the defense, you're trying to split two guys, you got them on their heels, like you're going forward, you're attacking the goal. You know, coaches will deal with that. It's his turnovers were just like corralling the ball and making the next pass. It's connecting. It's connecting passes. It's making 1-2 touch. It just was all off. My brother used this analogy, and we've been talking about him for years as being like the ultimate. When things are good, he's amazing. He's been player of the month in the Premier League before he was at Chelsea. He was player of the month in Serie A and AC Milan this past year. He was the best player on the team for 4 months. When he gets injured, though, or he is in a situation that he's not feel good, when he lacks confidence, he looks like a totally different player. He is, from a basketball standpoint, that's obviously my sport of trade, he is the ultimate street shooter. If he makes one or two, look out. Dude's on fire. And he can look like a world-class player. If he's struggling, if he's coming off injury, if he's not in a good situation, if mentally he's not right, he looks like an average player at best. And he showed us 45 minutes of greatness for the streak when he started the tournament at 45 minutes of Paraguay. Since that injury, he's been a shell of himself. And when you look at the pantheon of great American players, he may be the most talented and he's the most accomplished at the club level currently. I mean, he has won a Champions League. He was on Chelsea's team. He played in that match. They won a Champions League, what, 4 years ago now? But when you look at what Landon Donovan has accomplished, or Clint Dempsey has accomplished, or Claudio Reyna in 94, and then in the years after that, he's the most talented, but he's going to go, it's like a bronze tail. Nothing worse than wasted potential. As far as wearing a red, white, and blue uniform, that might be his moniker in less than 20, 30, something's different, but he'll be, what, 31 years old? Hopefully there are younger guys coming up to kind of push him out of that place of being so critical to this team. His time may have come and gone in the red, white, and blue uniform.
In the red, white, and blue uniform, as you say, did win a Champions League, won a few cups as well. Okay, to the final two games in the round of 16. By the way, we're talking to Dallin Cuff. He is not on the 18th green of a golf course. He's in an airport lounge, thus the subdued tone. He's still as passionate as ever. So you're not touching Argentina and Egypt, but you are doing something with Colombia and Switzerland, correct?
I would live play the Argentina-Egypt game. I think you want to see how Egypt starts for this match. I'm intrigued. When you move this, we've seen the dog bark in this match, in this tournament. We've seen in this round of 16. We've seen them compete. We've seen them get past the 90 minutes. I mean, there's some value there for Egypt. Can they survive it and get yourself, the double the chance play has been pretty good with some of these big dogs to get into extra time. So the double the chance win or draw is paying you out in 90 minutes. Beyond that, it doesn't matter. Your bet is paid. So those are options. When you're looking at that, that's like a plus 200, plus 230, depending on what you're looking at. But in terms of plays, I do like, I really like both teams to score. No, the answer to that, Switzerland and Colombia. Both teams are resolute, tough to break down. I think Colombia is really underrated. I think Colombia, Argentina, if they both can get through here, will be a fantastic quarterfinal, which I talked to you guys before the tournament. I thought Argentina on the corners, there was value there, given how this bracket could shape up and what it could look like. So I do think Colombia, really a world of Colombia, but Switzerland's hard to break down. They're going to be organized. They're going to be tactically adept. They've got a strong, somewhat aged, but a strong midfield. I think this is a great game, but I think it's like there's no value in the under. That's minus 160, 170 per on the book. So I'm looking at both teams to score no, which is even money right now, plus 100.
Both teams to score no. That's the second of the two games today, Colombia and Switzerland. And after that, that will get us the quarter final set. So Dallin, in our last 90 seconds here, it's France-Morocco Thursday. It's Spain-Belgium Friday. And then the doubleheader on Saturday is going to be Norway-England, followed by the two winners of today's game. Who is in the finals? Who wins the whole thing?
I think we're looking at a France-Spain situation on one side. I think you're looking at Norway. I think it's going to get through against England. I just think this team, I like them to the semis. They had a pretty decent number of quarters. Was plus 225 before. Like Norway to get there, taking on Colombia. I think in the final, we're going to have a Colombia-France final. And I think France wins this.
Wow.
Thing. Wow. All right. I didn't see that coming. Okay. Colombia-France final. What'd you say? I'm sorry.
We got some value in some of those things. So I'm interested to see. I hope Colombia survives. I think Colombia-Argentina will be a good price for Colombia to advance against Messi and that crew.
Yeah, and I think I said it earlier. I think we got the right eight teams. If Colombia and Argentina win today, I think it's probably the right eight teams to get there. And then any inkling or any instinct, I should say, on the golden boot right now, obviously Messi gets the extra game. He hasn't played his round of 16 game. He plays that today. He's got seven. Mbappe is currently at this moment in the lead, 7 goals, 2 assists. Messi, 7 in the shortest amount of time on the pitch, and then it's Erling Haaland with 7, Harry Kane with 6. What's your instinct there?
This is all about, with anybody making this play, it's who you think is going to win it. So if I think France is most likely to get to the final, then if you're going to make that play now, if you haven't already, then you take Mbappe in that situation. You also got to realize, if you're looking at taking people here, who takes their penalties? Mbappe is France's penalty taker, Haaland is Norway's penalty taker, Argentina for Messi. But in this situation, give me Mbappe.
Give you Mbappe. Third place game does count, though. People should keep that in mind as well.
True.
For the golden boot. Dallin, good luck. Safe travels. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks, boys. See you next week.
Dallin Cuff from the airport. What an effort. By the way, you can follow him on Twitter at Dallin Cuff. Come back. We'll update that Cy Young tracker some more next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, Gil Alexander live from San Francisco this week. Kelly Bidlin back at the mothership at Circa Resort Casino, VSiN Studios, high atop the world's largest sports book. Kelly, you doing okay back there?
Everything all right? I'm doing great, man. We are we're down a couple guys in the back, but we're doing okay. Danny out today again, a little under the weather. We got Chris Foster out, so the crew's doing a great job. Larry Darnell, Matt Hicks, all doing a great job holding it down back there.
Can we steal Matt Hicks's line? Danny OD'd on America this weekend.
He OD'd on America this weekend. That's right. Now, I hope he's doing okay. He had to go to urgent care yesterday, so hopefully he's feeling better.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I just want to follow up on the Cy Young tracker thing from Tom Tango earlier, because I didn't actually give Tom Tango's points because, again, with the formula, it's his own point system. But I just want to give you the gap. So National League, Jacob Mizorowski has 59.6 points currently. These go up, these go down as the season goes on. 59.6. Christopher Sanchez is second at 48.9 after last night. Again, terrible outing against the Kansas City Royals. Chase Burns of the Reds is third with 44.4. Then it's Sale at 43.7 and Shohei at 43.3. The corresponding numbers in the betting market, Miz is minus 650, Sanchez is 6-1. But then Burns is, again, roughly 30-1. Sale is roughly 20-1. You got to shop around for these. Shohei's roughly 50-1. They're not 3, 4, and 5 in the NL Cy Young market, but they are in Cy Young tracker for Tom Tango. It doesn't matter. Miz is number one. He should be number one. He's the guy in the driver's seat. Really only an injury or just a shocking turn of events with his performance this year would change that. The American League is where it gets interesting because, again, you can get Cam Schlittler at plus 125. I don't understand this. Cam Schlittler in the Tom Tango point system, 53.1. Do you know who's in second? Do you have any guess? If you look at the American League Cy Young market, you see that after Schlittler, it's Cease, Rasmussen, DeGrom, Joe Ryan, Logan Gilbert, Gavin Williams, and Sonny Gray. That's the first column.
I'm going to guess Logan Gilbert.
Kelly, he's not in the first column. The second point total guy in the AL Cy Young tracker for Tom Tango is Parker Messick of the Guardians, who is at, 60-1? We're showing him at 70-1. 70-1 at DraftKings. Parker Messick, so it's Schlittler 53.1, Messick 37.9, Sonny Gray 37.0, Sonny Gray at 40-1 currently. Then it's Dylan Cease at 35.9. Dylan Cease is second at plus 220. So according to the Tango tracker, you're just throwing money away on Cease at this point. And then Rasmussen, who is third at plus 600 at 6-1, he's fifth with Tango at 35.1. So that's what this to me, again, we have said on this show, Schlittler and Miz the entire time. And this is completely corroborated now, big time, by the Tango tracker. It's July. The All-Star break hasn't happened yet. Injuries can happen. This could change. But right now, that AL Cy Young market, according to this formula, 33 out of the last 40 correctly predicted by this formula, is way off. Schlittler should be a big favorite.
How is Sonny Gray only 36 years old? Feels like he has been pitching for like my entire adult life at this point. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Three Jacques, H3131. Gil is a Ms. Cy Young ticket holder. Based on numbers, who would you look at as a second option? Sale? Also, why aren't you emphasizing the H in whip? It's very true. It was the greatest Family Guy episode of all time. Is there's the cool whip one with Stewie, but the greatest one is when he was the bookie and Brian didn't pay him. And he's like, stop ducking me, man. That was the greatest one ever. Who's second to the Miz? I guess it's Sanchez, but it's not close. It really isn't.
Yeah.
As reflected both in the Tango numbers and the market.
Yeah, just to reiterate what you said when I asked you about this, though, this is it sounds like that tweet is kind of leading towards a, hey, who else should I add to kind of round this out and make sure I don't miss out. You right now just said no. This is you wouldn't bet anybody else right now.
Again, for those who missed it earlier, Jacob Mizorowski is number one. I don't care if it's the baseball card stats, the standard stats, right, or the advanced stats. with the exception of like wins, he has 9 wins. I think other people have 10 wins, mm-hmm. right? Innings pitched where he's like, I think 20 behind the most. Everything else, he is number one in Major League Baseball from ERA to expected ERA to fielding independent to XFIP to WAR to WHIP. There you go. K percentage, total number of Ks. He's number one across the board. Like, it's domination what this kid is doing. So yeah, there is none. There is no other for me at this point. It's sort of like the Yordan Alvarez thing, right? Obviously, Alvarez has the history of injuries, so people are more worried. But like, if you look at his numbers right now, if the vote were held today, it's a landslide. It's not close with what Alvarez says. And I know people can be like, oh, defense, this, defense. That's not what people vote on ultimately.
I was an interesting conversation with Adam yesterday, though. So like, do you think, I think my one follow-up to him would be, I mean, this is still, if he wins the Triple Crown, it's not close, right? Regardless of him just being a DH.
No, it's not close, but he also leads in hits and OBP and slugging and all these other things, right?
Yeah.
So it's not a one-trick Triple Crown pony either. Now, of course, with MVP, team records matter to some mm-hmm. degree, but Houston's involved. Peter Watry, Belgium will beat the U.S. 8 out of 10 times. Belgium won 5-2 in March. 5 players on the U.S. could make the Belgian roster. It's okay to lose to a better team. USA, Mexico, and Canada were first-class hosts, and it has been a great World Cup. I agree with all that.
What a perfect tweet. What a perfect tweet. The tournament's still been awesome, and yes, the host countries have done their job. It's been awesome seeing the just reactions and stadiums filled with fans from all over the planet. It sucks we're out. The tournament has still been awesome. I love that it's being played here. That was a great
I asked
tweet.
You that yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. I said, if we lose tonight, I said this to you yesterday, will this in any way diminish your excitement for the tournament moving forward? And before I could even finish the sentence, you were like, absolutely not.
No, not at all.
I agree with that 100%.
Yep.
And then Eagle Marine, Gil, I thought you could appreciate this one. Okay, this is a big thing we haven't talked about. Stu Holden and the great Mary Carrillo sound so alike, people were posting that they had to check the schedule to see if Mary had been added to the World Cup booth. This has been what we've talked about behind the scenes for the entire tournament. Stu Holden, who by all stories is a lovely guy. He does sound remarkably like Mary Carrillo, former tennis player, famous tennis announcer. She's featured on many documentaries in tennis. And you do have to do a double take. I've never heard like two people sound that alike. It's incredible.
I personally have not noticed that, but I understand why you would more. Yeah.
Dude, from the beginning. Okay. Speaking of tennis, again, and I don't know if it started yet, I am on Naomi Osaka here. Naomi Osaka in the second of the women's quarters being played today. There's only 2 quarters on each side being played. She's taking on Carolina Muhova. She's a small favorite. I'm on her. I hate myself for not playing Coco. Coco Gauff beats Jessie Pegula. So Coco is the first semifinalist on the ladies' side. Again, Kelly, whenever Jessie loses out of a tournament, she's never won a slam. You're always worried about her welfare.
Is that the issue? It's going to be a tough day for the Pegula family. We'll have to collect that whatever place check and fly home disappointed. might have to fly home commercial. Might have to take commercial home, Gil. Doubt it.
It'd be tough.
When's the last time you think Jessica Pegula's flown commercial?
I'm going to go with never. Never is the answer. Real quick, so that's the only play today, Osaka. Sinner just beat Struff, I guess, so he's on his way to the semis.
Yep.
He's winning this. I don't care that he has to play maybe Novak next, maybe Taylor Fritz in the finals, because I think Taylor Fritz kind of owns Sasha Zverev. I don't think it. I know it. So I still think like the number on Sinner is, I mean, value's value. I still think there's value on Sinner. And then on the lady side, if we had flashed those up there, I said yesterday, I go, this is a complete free for all. I have no idea who of the remaining ladies is winning this. I can just tell you that my pick to win the quarter was Osaka at 8-1. In terms of like the best raw grass numbers that still exist out there, it's actually Coco.
Okay.
Coco's the one who has the advantage here.
And these
which is why I hate my...
If you're watching at home, these were obviously, I typed these up before that Coco-Jessica Pegula match began. But I think it's always... I actually like when we do this, Gil, because you can see where stuff moves. And that is, so updated odds now, Osaka plus 275. Coco drops all the way down to that same price. Obviously, Osaka's still with a match to play here this morning. But Coco is plus 275. She is your second shot on the board. And then it's back to Kostyuk plus 425, Niskova plus 550, Muchova plus 550, Paolini 16-1, and Mertens 17-1 right now at DraftKings.
Yeah. It's anybody's tournament. Again, we are guaranteed a 10th Wimbledon winner on the ladies' side in the last 10 years. That's it. Nobody who's still involved has won it. Krejcikova was the last former winner to get bounced. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick, if he has any plays left on the at the All England Tennis Club, that and more next.